to air is human. But it is also corporate. Companies do their fair share of airing. Now, if you are a person and you mess up, you apologize. But what do you do if you're a company?
Yeah, there are the large-scale apologies for, let's call it, wrongdoing, criminal or otherwise. But what about the more individual issues? Like if a company gets your specific order wrong or sends you specifically a faulty product, then what should a company do? That is the topic of a really interesting new paper by a group of economists on the economics of apologies.
They partnered with Uber, the ride-sharing app, to try to figure out the most effective way for a company to apologize to a wronged customer. So they focused on customers who were dropped off late, in the 95th percentile of late, so really late, like not 3 minutes, but like an hour. They looked at about 1.5 million late drop-offs all across the country, and they experimented with the best way to make good with those customers.
This, I say unapologetically, is the Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Cardiff Garcia.
Sorry, not sorry. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Today on the show, how to say you're sorry if you're a company. It turns out there is a lot of money riding on the right apology.
And on the wrong one, as it turns out.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Grow with Google. From coding to IT support, Grow with Google is helping Americans across the country learn new skills for the digital age. Learn more and get started at google.com/grow. Support also comes from Nuveen. As a top 5 global manager of commercial real estate, Nuveen invests in buildings that build investors' portfolios. Because when you invest in a world you're proud to leave behind, it isn't business as usual. It's investing by example.
So, the economics of apologies. Uber did this large-scale study with a group of economists, and they looked at how to best deal with customers that had just had a bad experience. In this case, they were dropped off way later than the Uber app had estimated that they would be dropped off. One of those economists was Benjamin Ho, an associate professor of behavioral economics at Vassar College.
I've been thinking about apologies for a very long time. I was working on a presentation today, and I realized I made that slide in 2002. So the examples were all about, like, Bill Clinton apologizing and Enron apologizing. And I just thought, wow, I'm old.
I remember those. Tell me about, like, why are apologies interesting to you?
I think because the economy is based on trust. I think economists underappreciate this fact, and our traditional neoclassical models are all about just sort of cold calculating agents. But actually, we trust a lot in the economy just for, you know, we can't write a contract for everything. And so a lot relies on trust. And so basically, you know, when trust falls apart, an apology is what we use to sort of restore that relationship.
You did this, like, really, really interesting study as a way to study apologies.
Mm-hmm. So the study was partnered with Uber. So we focus on the 95th percentile of lateness, so the most extreme, most late rides. There's about a 5% chance that you never come back to Uber again.
That's pretty high, actually.
Yes. Uber is worried about this chance of losing a customer. And the question is, how can we repair this relationship? How can we repair, say, the trust between Uber and its rider? We tested different kinds of apologies, and we found that the right kind of apology could basically increase Uber's revenues by 1% to 2%, but the wrong kind of apology could decrease Uber's revenues by 1% to 2%.
So what were the apologies that really worked for Uber? Like, what was the magic?
So what we found that the magic was money, basically.
Really?
Yeah. Show me the money, basically.
Yeah.
That we tested, you know, apologies with or without a coupon, and we tested apologies that involved sort of commitments to do better or not, and we found basically the most effective apology, the ones that sort of increased revenues, was a $5 coupon.
Was it just a question of coupon, or did it matter what the message was?
So we tested that as well. What we saw is that a commitment to do better in the future, it doesn't seem to matter much right away, but we tracked these riders for 3 months after the apology. And we found that basically 2 or 3 months later, these commitments to do better in the future actually backfired against the company. In part because, you know, you might commit to do better in the future, and then the rider says,
because they didn't do better.
Because then maybe for some of them, they had another bad experience. And then as a result, those people punished Uber more than the control group that got no apology at all. And 3 months down the line, coupon plus apology did worse than coupon. coupon alone.
Did moneyless apologies have any effect?
Yeah, the moneyless apologies had a chance of backfiring. It depended on the condition.
Oh. Did they ever have a good effect?
Not in our data. I think they temporarily had a good effect, right? But I think there's this idea that once you've apologized, we're going to hold you to a higher standard. And sort of by the end of the three months of observation, it seemed like they either had no effect or a negative effect.
Okay, so this is confusing to me because I've had some like bad experiences like everybody else with online companies. So there was like a food delivery service that I used, an online food delivery service, and I ordered dinner and the dinner never came. And I waited for like 2 hours and I was calling them and I was so hangry and they never apologized. They actually sent me a voucher.
Right.
But there was no apology and it made me so mad.
Right.
So in this case, I mean, they did give me money. They
right.
gave me a $25 coupon.
Right.
And I used it angrily.
Right.
But like, they didn't say they were sorry. Like
right.
that, what, am I like a different consumer than most people?
No, I think saying you're sorry definitely can help, right? And I think we found that, especially in the short run, it definitely can help. It's just that the risk of saying you're sorry is that you may punish them more in the future, right? So say they said sorry now, and the next week, you know, you get another late order delivery, then maybe that sorry might backfire against them.
It is interesting that we expect remorse from a company. You know, you're ordering from like, online, like it's like minimizing human interaction, yet it still seems like we still want the same level of trust and accountability.
I think part of it is that our brain sort of works on scripts and heuristics. And so, you know, when we enter in a relationship with a company, we sort of like the same sort of scripts and heuristics trigger in our brain. And so because we expect remorse in real life, we sort of expect it from our company. And in some sense, like, you know, when we're using an app on the phone, the apology sort of pops up as like a notification, which looks a lot like a text message. And so it almost sort of becomes like this personal relationship with that company. I think also, though, the reason I started apology was to think about actually just sort of apologies by sort of big abstract entities like corporations or governments, right? Like, you know, should the government of Japan apologize for World War II atrocities, or should South Africa apologize, or you know, sort of these sort of abstract entities apologize? And it really seems strange to ask, you know, what does it mean for a country to show remorse, or what does it mean for a corporation to show remorse? And, you know, while I was trying to do my research is to say, well, you know, the script comes from this like mathematical model of signaling, where if these corporations sort of pay this signal and pay this cost, then we will forgive them and use them more in the future. And it's all very rational. It's all based on costs and benefits. And therefore, it doesn't surprise me at all that corporations are using sort of these tools.
Do you think there's a difference between? I mean, do you think this like carries over into personal relationships? Like, I'm so sorry that I like whatever was late meeting you for dinner. Here's $10.
Right. You know, here's a box of chocolates, right? Or here's some flowers.
Oh, right. Flowers and candy.
Exactly.
Oh, this takes on a whole new significance. Has it changed the way, like, you apologize?
I think people sort of always wind up asking me this question.
Of course they do. I'm so curious.
I think the main way it's changed is that because all my friends and my family know that I study apologies, then they're sort of always automatically skeptical whenever I apologize. So I have to, like, go an extra mile to sort of sound, like, earnest and sincere and remorseful, because people are always just like, oh, you're just doing that because of your paper.
This is game theory, isn't it? Are you just trying this out on me?
That's exactly what I hear from my wife all the time.
Do you do flowers and candy?
I do, even though I think she's a little tired of the flowers and candy, so.
This week, the history.
Every gay person must come out.
The meaning.
Ellen, are you coming out or not?
And your stories of coming out.
You like other men? Why?
On the latest episode of It's Been a Minute from NPR.